Good morning, church. My name is Daniel Shanks. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get to welcome you once again to worship. That video just brought back a whole bunch of memories to me, and I'm already excited today. It's Advent, by the way. Happy Advent. It's good. Guys, happy Advent. You know how this works now. Thank you. I've had coffee this morning, too. I told the first group that. It's kind of out of my system, but I'm excited today. And friends, for those of you who have ever had questions about Ghana, come talk to one of us that have been on that trip. I had the pleasure of going on this last trip, and I'm still processing the way God has impacted me and how, like, the work that we're doing in Ghana is literally, I mean, the only word I can say is transforming, guys. It's powerful. People keep asking me when I'm going to preach. You don't want me to do that because I will never sit down. Like, I will be talking about my experience in Ghana till the day I die. My grandkids will know about the things that I've done there. I hope to go back. So if you want to know about some of the things that are going on, find one of us that have been on the trip. Find someone who's been on the, like, how many groups have we sent? Does anyone know? Eight? Thanks, Connie. We've had eight trips over there. I mean, guys, it's amazing. They have churches over there that are worshiping. We're a part of that. So, like, even as we gather here right now, today, there are places that we have helped build in Ghana that are also worshiping. They're celebrating Advent with us. And if you're not familiar with that word, by the way, Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus. I got to look this up. That sounds very good, right? I'm speaking Latin to you. Adventus means coming. The word Advent literally is a time of preparation where we look forward to remembering and talking about the birth of Christ. That's a good thing. How many of you like Christmas? Yeah. Not yet. It's Advent. We're preparing for Christmas. We're getting there. It's 4 weeks long, but it prepares us. And by the way, preparation, this waiting that we do in Advent, it's not like just sit back and relax. It's actually, there's an action item there, right? We are actively anticipating the coming of Christ. And we forget about that sometimes. We forget that this is an anticipation because we celebrate it every year. But friends, this story is amazing. And it's not done happening yet. Now, if you're anything like me, Advent kind of does, like, I like it, but it bothers me a little bit. I'm an impatient person. This season of waiting, this season of anticipating, it drives me nuts. I didn't realize that I was going to do this yesterday, but it was the perfect sermon illustration. I am so impatient that I did Christmas shopping for Hannah yesterday. Guess who already has her presents? I'm terrible. Don't judge me. Who are you to judge me? I am impatient. I don't like waiting. And for those of you who just like, oh, you are impatient too. Don't you think for a moment that you're not. If I want to market something to you, if I look at any commercial right now, the biggest selling point is, hey, I can get it to you tomorrow. Or this will make your life better because it's quicker. You'll get it sooner. We're impatient. The other thing we don't like having happen is we don't like being interrupted. How many of you watch Netflix? How many of you binge watch Netflix? Yes. No hands went down. Friends, have you ever gotten that little gray box that stops your show when you're involved in it and it asks you that stupid question, are you still watching? Yes, Netflix. Yes, I am. That's an Advent question, by the way. Are you still watching? You see, Advent is a time of waiting. It's also a time of interruption. It's a time where we get to ask ourselves, like, are we still watching? Are we still anticipating? You see, Advent is the coming of Christ. We're preparing for the coming of Christ into the world as the Messiah. But that work's not done. We're still gathering as a church. We're still celebrating. We're still anticipating. Are you still watching? I'm going to ask you that question later, too. You know how I also know that you're all impatient? How many of you have ever had an Advent calendar? Do you guys know what an Advent calendar is, some of you? It's a tiny little box that is made to irritate you. It has these little doors on the back, and it's a calendar. And during the season of Advent, one time a day, you get to open this little obnoxious door, and behind that, there's a little scripture verse, and there's a little piece of candy. How many of you have ever successfully only ever opened one door for every day of Advent? Liars, all of you. Get out of my... The door is back there. Yeah, I'm looking at you. I've never successfully done an Advent calendar. I have ravaged every Advent calendar that has ever come my way. I've even gotten my mom in on it. You open that first door, I read the scripture, ate the chocolate. But see, here's the thing, you can still shake that box. You know there's more chocolate in there. You can hear it, it calls to you. I remember going to my mom and saying, "Mom, I really want the rest of this chocolate." You know what she said? She's a good mom. She said no. Do you know how I tricked her though? I said, "I'll share with you." She's like, "Yeah, open that door." Friends, we are impatient. We want the things. How many of you have ever been, your parents have said, "Hey, I bought you this for Christmas, but you can't have it till Christmas." That is the worst thing you can ever do to a child. Don't ever do that. Like, I know it's there, we know it's coming, but it's not there yet. That's Advent for us as Christians. This is the time where we know that the Messiah has already come into this world, and we're sitting here like, can't we just decorate now? Can't we? Like, yes, now is the time, but we're still waiting. We're still anticipating. And friends, that is what Advent's about. We're starting a new sermon series today. It's called Unwrapped, and we're talking about the real gifts of the season. I'm here to testify to you today that the one true and perfect gift that humanity has ever received is Jesus Christ, God incarnate, love in human form. We're going to read a passage of scripture today from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. Isaiah was a prophet. A prophet is someone who has conversations with the Lord, who knows what the Lord is wanting and tells the people. It's actually kind of not a great job. I don't know if you know this, but when you tell people that God wants them to do something and they don't want to do it, they don't generally like you. Prophets had a hard job. Isaiah lived in the 8th century, about 700 years before Jesus was born, and he had a rough situation. You see, the people at this time, their world was just not good. I would say their world was crumbling around them. It was a time of political upheaval. They had this group of a nation called Assyria, and the Assyrians were known to be an incredibly violent and extremely successful military force. They conquered like everyone. They literally went around the Middle East and just took over different countries. And when they took over these countries, they would actually take the good workers, the people who were educated, the people who had the most to offer society, if you will, and they would ship them into other Assyrian lands so they couldn't get stirred up. This happened to the Jews. The Jews were conquered and they were moved out. Neighbors were fighting neighbors. People had forgotten God. And even worse, they believed that God had forgotten them. This passage that I'm going to read to you from the book of Isaiah is a poem. It's a poem that is a lament. It's like one of the sad psalms. It is. You can hear in it the longing. You can hear in it the hunger. The absolute desire that these people had in the midst of all the horribleness that they were dealing with, this hunger that they had for one thing and one thing only, and that was that God would show up in a powerful way, that God would interrupt their lives, and that God would save them. I'm going to read these words to you. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. It's verses 1 through 9, and these are powerful words. I want you to listen. Some of us don't have to think too hard about this, but imagine you're an ancient Hebrew person. Imagine that your world is crumbling around you. Imagine for a brief moment that you want nothing more than to see God and to have God work in your life. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. How the mountains would quake in your presence as fire causes wood to burn and water to boil. Your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. When you come down long ago, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations, and oh, how the mountains quaked. For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. You welcome those who gladly do good, who follow godly ways, but you have been very angry with us. For we are not godly, we are constant sinners. How can people like us be saved? We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. Yet no one calls on your name or pleads with you for mercy. Therefore, you have turned away from us and turned us over to our sins. And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand. Don't be so angry with us, Lord. Please don't remember our sins forever. Look at us, we pray, and see that we are all your people. There's a confession of sin in there. They owned it. They said, we haven't been following you, but we still want you here. That first part, it kills me. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. The translation that I read this week actually said, rend the heavens, tear them open. You see, this is something that Isaiah knew about. A couple weeks ago, I talked about the Exodus. When God took the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt and moved them through the Red Sea, the first place they worshiped God was at Mount Sinai. That's where Moses saw the burning bush. Okay? It's a very important piece of Israel's story. And when they decided to be in relationship with God, when God said, I want you to be my people, and the people said, we want to be your people, God showed up. The scripture says that he showed up with fire, that the skies opened up, that the earth shook. This is part of Israel's story. Isaiah knows this. He is asking for that very same show of authority. In a time where people have forgotten God, where they believe God has forgotten them, Isaiah's one true hope is that the Lord would show up in such a way where no one could ignore the presence of God. Fire. I love the part, he just says, like, let your enemies know, let our enemies know who you are. We're your This is not a subtle, it's not like, hey, just warm my heart. This is, no, get down here. Have you guys ever had this? I think this is one of the most relatable things in Scripture. How many of us have just had that moment in life where everything is going wrong and you're just like, where are you? Get down here now. I want to be a part of this. I want you in my life. Help me. Rend the heavens. Do whatever you want. Shake the earth. I don't care. Get here. You guys had that? I think most of us at some point in our life have had that kind of prayer, or at least we will. There will be a moment where that makes sense, that you want nothing else than for God to show up and interrupt your world. That's what these people are feeling right now. They want the presence of God. This is pre-Jesus. This is 700 years before the world would know the Messiah. Can you imagine waiting 700 years? They've been waiting longer before that too. The most amazing part about this is that these people's cries, their anticipation, all centers around the hope of the Messiah, the hope that God's work is not done in their lives, that God would save them. Friends, we have that hope. That's what made us a church. We gather here today because we acknowledge that Jesus is not done, that the work of God in this world is not done, that we're a part of it. That's anticipation. That's Advent. We know that the Messiah has already come, but guess what? We still remember that story, and we know because we've all said the mystery of faith, right? When we say communion, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Advent is a period of 4 weeks. But it's something that happens in our story all the time because Christ is continually coming into our lives. Advent never stops. The anticipation never stops because the work is not done. And guess what? We have a part to play in this. I always try to give you guys some tangible things like, what can you do? How can you respond to Advent? The first question is, and I'm going to borrow it from Netflix, are you still watching? Do you still believe that God's work is happening? Do you understand that you're a part of it? Are you still watching? First and foremost, you need to acknowledge that. Friends, God's not done with you. The Messiah is here. The Messiah has come. The good news today is that even in a world that is sometimes crumbling, even in the midst of our darkest experiences, the love of God has walked among us. Jesus Christ has come. Not even death could separate God's love from us. God's presence is with you. The same presence that lights things on fire, entire mountains shake, enemies fearing. Guys, God is in your lives working with you right now. There has never been a moment where God has not been with you. The presence of God has come into this world through the person of Jesus Christ. How do you respond to it? Keep watching, keep waiting, keep working along with God. You see, one of the best things you can do is just simply pay attention. And that sounds like such a cop-out, but we use this word, it's called intentional. Are you being intentional in your faith journey? What I mean by this is, like, what are you doing to actively be a part of it? I'll encourage you guys, I say it to the youth every now and then, like, we need to be reading Scripture. If Advent is a time for us to remember these stories, guess what we need to know? The stories. We need to start paying attention. We need to start reading Scripture. The other thing you can do, and this helps people learn the stories, by the way, did you know that we decorate? This sounds really simple, but it's very, very important. Guys, we decorate with purpose. It's not just because we want to look pretty once a year. Okay? We talk about lights. Jesus was the light of the world. It helps us remember that. If you look at our wreath, we have three lights in the wreath: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. A tree represents something that lives even in the midst of winter, even in the dark parts. It's still green, still living, still fresh. Look at our altar. We have two candles. We don't need fire hazards. Like, those candles are there for a reason. We understand that the flame represents for us the Holy Spirit. The fact that God's presence is in our lives, is still working, is still moving. We understand that from these two candles that God was fully, or Jesus was fully human and fully divine. We have the Scripture. We have a Bible up there. Jesus was the Word of God. Friends, when we decorate, when we prepare, when we remember, these are the things that we need to actually be thinking about. Christ is continually coming into this world through the Holy Spirit and through God's Word. Every time we meet, every time we gather, every time we read Scripture, Christ is adventing. We are adventing. Now, just so you know that I also do this, like, I prepare. This is my one way of being intentional. And it's also a pet peeve, so I'm sort of asking for forgiveness while I'm doing this. I like to mess with nativity sets. Someone has already fixed this one. I am the one who hides the Jesus in all our nativity sets. I apologize. They got smart in the office. They have one where Mary is literally, like, it's part of the sculpture. She's holding the baby Jesus, so I can't move him. And I don't do this because I'm righteous. I do this because it helps me remember. I actually put Jesus behind the stable until Christmas Day. There's like two people celebrating. Everyone else is like, don't touch my stuff. I also, like, some people have like the elf on a shelf. I do the wise men. The wise men are not at my nativity set until Epiphany, which is after Christmas, because they started traveling. So the wise men actually move throughout my house. Yeah. And it sounds dumb, right? But you know what? You know what people ask me when they come into my home? They're like, Dan, that's an awesome nativity set. It's not complete. And I'm like, yeah, it is. They're over there. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, let me tell you this story. It's subtle. Friends, there are things that we do. We put stars on top of trees. That's not because we think that, oh, that's just aesthetically very pleasing. We remember the story that people followed the star to find Christ. Guys, pay attention to what you're doing this season. Pay attention this Advent season. This is like fun homework. I'm telling you to go home and decorate your house in the name of Jesus. Find ways to remember these stories. And remember that you are part of that story and that it's not done yet. Move into a time of communion in just a little bit, and I want to reinforce something with you. I told you Advent is something that's been happening every day, right? Every time we read Scripture, every time the Holy Spirit works in our lives, every time. Advent is something that's always happening. Jesus is constantly coming into our world, and we talk about it during communion. The mysteries of faith, we've already said it. Christ will come again, Every week we say that. That's our hope. We anticipate the coming of Christ. We also, at the very end, I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up. Until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. You're going to hear those words in a little bit. Every week we do communion. Every week you will hear these words. Every week we should be reminded that Christ's work is not done, that Advent is happening. I'm sorry that you only get to decorate with it once a year. But friends, my sincerest hope for you, my prayer for you this year, is that you would remember, that you would prepare, but that you would find yourself in these stories and that you would celebrate them, because God is with us. The presence of God meets us at that table every single week. And there has never been a moment where God has left you alone. Even if you have forgotten God, God has never once forgotten you. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we have the ability to gather in your name, that we have the ability to worship you, to pray, to decorate, to celebrate, to learn. We pray that you would bless us as we continue, as we gather at your table. Bless our hearts, bless our minds, bless our actions, and Lord, help us to see you in new and powerful ways this week. We love you, we thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.